Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Sigmund Freud made this observation: it is indeed impossible to imagine our own death, and whenever we attempt to do so, we can perceive that we still present as spectators. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be on this glorious and amazing planet of ours. It is Wisdom Wednesday and another live show of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Om Times Radio. So put on some relaxing clothes, grab a nice cup of tea, kick up your feet, take a nice, deep, healing, cleansing breath as we take the next hour to explore the afterlife. I am your host, Mark Lane Hart, the Intuitive Prospector, here in beautiful Pacific Northwest of Seattle, Washington. And if you're ready to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold, you can visit me at marklanehart.com. You can do an internet search and do a little prospecting on your own for the Intuitive Prospector. You can also find me at Best American Psychics, Best Psychic Directory, and FamousPsychicMediums.com. You can also join me now every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific over on Facebook Live, where I do Metaphysical Mocha Mondays with Mark. That's every Monday over on the Om Times Magazine platform. It's a way to get your message for the week, get a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of spiritual knowledge, and interact with me live for a half hour every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Love to have you join me over there on the Facebook Live. We have a lot of fun. You can also catch a class with me now, either live or a recorded version of the classes that I'm teaching for the Om Times Learning Experts platform. It's through Learn It Live. I've got about 12 classes, and I do have an upcoming class this month. I'm starting level one of Spiritual ABCs. If you want to learn more about that information or any of the links to Facebook Live or any of the work I'm doing here in Seattle, just head on over to marklanehart.com. And you can do a little exploring with me. I do have an upcoming event here on June 1st through the 5th. If you are in the Denver, Colorado area, I will be down in Denver for a mediumship demonstration, a spiritual workshop, and private readings. You can also just go to marklanehart.com and get the links and information. If you're down in Denver, Colorado, I would love to meet up with you and do a little spiritual prospecting. So today I am riding solo. Kim is off today, taking a much-needed break, so just wanted to give a shout-out to Kim. Hope that you're enjoying the day off, and she'll be back with us next week as we continue to have very inspiring, uplifting guests talking all about different topics. And today we're talking about the afterlife, and we're hoping that our guest will be joining us soon, if he's not on the air already with us, having some technical difficulties. But if in the meantime, if you want to ask a question about the afterlife, if you want to engage with Inspired Living Radio, you can do that every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And the call-in number that you can call into here in the United States is 1-202-570-7057. And you can also engage with us on our Facebook page, which is Inspired Living Radio. Just ask to join the community. It is a closed page. And once you ask to join, you become an Inspired Listener with Inspired Listeners all around the world of like-minded individuals. It's our soul tribe. It's our spiritual community, and we have a lot of fun. So if you don't want to come live on the air with me or Kim or our special guest, you can always post your question over on the Facebook page, and I will be trying to check both Facebook and take calls if they come in. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at inspired for us. That's the number 4. You can also find us on Google Plus Communities, and that's a very up-and-coming growing community as well. We just love our inspired listeners and just love to see the community growing. We also have encore shows, on-demand shows. So if you don't catch this live show today, you can head over to iTunes, YouTube, Ohm Times Radio, or Ohm Times Radio Archives. You can also find us on Podbean, SoundCloud, MarkLanehart.com, and LoveFirst.info. Wanted to get into our positive affirmation for this month. The Inspired Living Radio positive affirmation is, my life is filled with abundance and prosperity. So taking a nice deep breath, let's listen to that again. Say it to yourself. That's a great positive affirmation to say throughout the day. My life is filled with abundance and prosperity. Okay, so let's see here. Mark, are you on the line with us? Okay, so might be doing an improv show today. We were having some technical difficulties. Let me just read a little bit about Mark's background. Hopefully he'll join us here on the air. I did have an email from him that he was coming on, so hopefully everything is okay. And I wanted just to talk about his book today. Maybe it's not meant to be for Mark to be on the show, because we originally had planned to have Mark on the show back in January, and we had an emergency that came up right at the start of the show, and so we actually had to cancel the show, and so we had actually rescheduled him to be back on the show today. So we'll just talk about his background, talk about the book. If you want to call in and talk with me, this might be a good time to do it. I'm going to do a little bit of improv here. The number is 1-202-570-7057, and you can just call right in, and our producer Chris will bring you right onto the live show if you have a question on spirituality, the afterlife. And the book specifically that we're talking about today is A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife. So I might just be reading the book to you if Mark is not able to join us live on the air, but it's really a book about traditions and beliefs on death, dying, and what lies beyond. So I'll read a little bit of Mark's background here and why he wrote this book and where he's at in writing this book. He is an author. He's got a PhD, and he's a professor of history at Shawnee State University in Ohio and a former visiting professor of history at the Nizhny Novgorod University in Russia. Not sure I'm saying that right. He has appeared on Ancient Aliens, the TV show, so if you follow Ancient Aliens like I do, and America's Book of Secrets on the History Channel, as well as in the documentary The Kingdom of Survival. He is the author of the Odin Brotherhood Handbook for Rebels and Outlaws and the Pulitzer-nominated novel The Cannibal Within. He received his master's from the University of Virginia and his doctorate from the University of Glasgow, and he lives in Portsmouth, Ohio. And some of the questions we're going to be talking about, hopefully, if he joins us, is taking a look at this book, A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife. So I can tell you, when I read the book, it's a fascinating read, and it literally explores on drawing on the death and afterlife traditions from cultures all around the world. And he took and compiled all this information into this book because it explores the many forms of existence beyond death and each tradition's instructions to access the afterlife. It literally ranges, you've got the Book of the Dead, you've got the Bible, and it goes back centuries of different ideas and different traditions on what the afterlife is. And it's different for everybody. So just going to check real quick here just to see if Mark is on the air with us. Mark, are you on the air? Okay. Okay, so we'll just we'll keep going. I hope everything is okay with him because we did have him confirmed, and I just talked to him not too long ago. So hopefully everything is all right. So the book itself – let me just kind of go into detail here, and this will be the first show where we don't have a guest calling in, Chris, so maybe I'll bring Chris on, our producer, and we can talk. And Kim is out today, so I'm riding solo. So let me just talk about some of the questions that we were going to ask Mark and just kind of just read about, the book itself and see if you want to call in with your own questions about the afterlife or spirituality. and I'll do my best to answer the questions. I'm definitely not a subject matter expert on the afterlife. Now, I do connect with those in the spiritual world as a professional psychic medium, but as far as my upbringing is much different here in Western civilization than it would be maybe for somebody in China or somebody in India. And so the traditions and beliefs, you know, range, and that's what this book talks about. So, you know, in the book, it talks about, you know, some of the questions that we were going to ask Mark is the book states that is an afterlife possible without a God or soul? And so hopefully we'll get him on the air to explain that. And we can talk about maybe some of the rules for, you know, being a human being. You know, I wasn't going to talk about this today, but sometimes we have to just, when you're on the radio and you don't have a guest that calls in, you just kind of have to go with the flow, I guess. So we're waiting for Mark to get on. Hopefully he'll get on here soon. But let's talk about, before we get to our very first break here, which is coming up in a minute, one of the things I was going to talk about was some of the rules for being a human and some of the things that we're given, regardless of what your belief system is and regardless of what your traditions are, because you start out, you come into this world alone, and so shall you return. And one of the things that you receive is a body. And you may love it, you may hate it, but it's yours for the entire time that you're here. So, you know, what you can do you know, is accept that you have the body. And then the experiences of having this body is based on your beliefs and your traditions of how you're raised and where you're raised in the world. So that's why this book was fascinating. We wanted to talk about the afterlife, because what you might believe here in America is not the same belief or tradition that somebody would believe in, you know, say, India, if you would. So we're going to go to our first break. I'm going to see if I can get Mark on here.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Inspired listeners, welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Ohm Times. Kind of having a fun show today. We had a scheduled guest that was supposed to call in. I'm not sure what happened to him. I hope that everything is okay. I don't know if it was technical difficulties or if he's not able to get to his phone. But today we were talking about his new book, A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife. His name is Mark Marabello, and he's a professor and author at the University of Shawnee State in Ohio. And we'll just kind of go along and take your questions. If you have questions, please give me a call at 1-202-570-7057. You can also post a question on our live Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio. I'd love to hear from our Inspired listeners because I know that we have Inspired listeners all around the globe in many different countries. And so I know in a few weeks, Kim and I are going to be doing our first open line show where we're going to be taking callers to give readings, to take your questions, to have a discussion. That's going to be here in just a few weeks, and it's going to be our first open line show. So we're really excited to be doing that. And again, if you want to find out the work that I'm doing, you can go over to marklanehart.com, internet search the Intuitive Prospector, and I'd love to work with you, whether it's spirituality, psychic sciences, mediumship, meditation, mindfulness. I kind of cover it all. Or if you want to get out in nature and do a hike or go on a scuba dive with me, I'd love to have you join me and go look for a little spiritual gold. All right. So I guess we do have our first caller on the line, and we have, is it Teresa from Vancouver?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
Very good. I'm sorry.
He is on the line. Okay, so real quick, Teresa, can you hold the line for just a few minutes, and we'll bring you on here in just a second?
Sure.
Okay, thanks for your patience. Hold on. All right, we have Mark Marabello on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yes. By the way, sorry for the confusion. I've been on hold for about 18 minutes. So I think we have based on our past history together, someone's trying to sabotage the show when I'm on it. But yeah, at least I'm here now.
All right, and we made it. And, well, you know, today is a full moon. We're in a full moon cycle. So, but I did talk about that at the beginning of the show, that we were actually scheduled to have you on, and we had an emergency take place, and we had to reschedule. But we've made it. Okay, so deep breath. I've given out all the information about your background, the book you've written. I just want to say thank you for making on. I was a little worried that everything was okay because I know that we had talked via email that you were excited to be on the show. So I'm glad that you're okay and that you're here talking about your fantastic book, a very interesting book. And we're in the second half of the show here, so let me get right into some of the questions. And we do have a caller waiting already with a question. But real quick, Mark, just introduce yourself to the Inspired Listening community all around the world and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, and by the way, I want to tell everyone again, as I've mentioned in emails, that this is a wonderful opportunity and an honor. My name is Mark Marabello. I'm a professor at a small university in Ohio, Shawnee State University. Educated in both the United States and in Great Britain, University of Glasgow, PhD in Scotland. And I have a wide variety of interests, and this is my last book. And it was probably inspired by the fact that my father passed away in 2007, focused my mind on these issues. And what the book is an exploration of various pathways to the other mm-hmm. side. Most Westerners, in fact, I'll steal an idea from the late Professor Eliade, said that we have really no new metaphysics in the West since the 18th century. And strangely enough, even the very the people that are interested in religious concepts and the supernatural and so forth and the paranormal tend to have in the Western world a very limited concept. Now, again, I'm not disparaging this idea, because as I talk about in the book, all these various traditions are legitimate. But there are many, 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 many paths. In fact, Buddhism talks about 84,000 mm-hmm. paths. Also, mm-hmm. We know of historically 3,500 known societies. Now, again, because Westerners tend to be monolithic and monotheistic, we think that only one possible path is true and all the others are not. But in fact, there are many, many ways. It's just like if you want to cross the Atlantic Ocean and get to London from New York, There are many ways to do it. You don't have to go in one linear direction. And the book is an exploration of these many concepts. And incidentally, at the end of the book, I talk about how to communicate with the dead, also legends of ghosts and apparitions. But I like to think the core is, again, I like to think, I don't use it really but at length, but skeleton keys. Now, that's an old term for a master key that opens any door. So whatever someone, however they're inclined, I think they can find various pathways that could lead them. And incidentally, anyone reading the book, and again, when I was doing the research, it's actually quite surprising because things we take for granted are not necessarily universally endorsed. In the West, we tend to think that it's all connected, for example, to a loving God, the existence of an immortal soul, and also our ethical behavior. But oddly enough, those three notions are not universal notions. And I even discuss how it's possible we could have a form of immortality even if God doesn't exist, I'm not saying he doesn't, even if we don't have an immortal soul, not saying we don't, and even if we, shall we say, misbehave, not saying we should. But again, there are many, many traditions.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about at the opening of the show is, you know, based on what your belief system is or your traditions, based on where you're at in the world, you know, what we believe here in Western civilization is not the same in China or in India. And I really enjoyed the book. I actually opened up the book with the introduction where you talked about, you know, where Sigmund Freud had made the observation, you know, it is indeed impossible to imagine our own death. And whenever we attempt to do so, we can perceive that we are still present as spectators. And the end of the book, I thoroughly enjoyed because I work in a lot of spirituality myself, Mark, and it's not something that I had always – I was raised Catholic growing up. And, you know, so I was – you know, my belief system was the whole heaven, hell, purgatory at the time. And – it wasn't until later in life that I got into a more spiritual path and started looking at the entire, you know, spectrum of death and dying, different religions around the world, different belief systems. And so when I first came across this book, I was very interested, wanted to interview you and have you on Inspired Living Radio. So thanks again for being on. I'm glad we could finally make the connection over the airwaves here. And I thoroughly enjoyed the end of the book because it does talk about the different ways that you can communicate with those in the spiritual world. And, you know, whether it's – I know you talked about necromancy, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, that's kind of a Renaissance term. It probably sounds sinister to modern people. But
yeah.
By the way, I should mention, in fact, people should be really careful, even though it's a very interesting subject – with communications with the other side. The 19th century turned, of course, with the invention of modern – well, the development of modern spiritualism, it was called, with the Fox sisters in upstate New York by Hydesville. And they turned communication with the dead into a kind of parlor activity where people would sit in the front room and communicate with loved ones. You also had that – a big boost in that activity with the horrific death rates in World War One. A lot of people, and incidentally, that's the last war, which was overwhelmingly dead young men. Sadly, our modern wars are now everybody's getting killed, children, women, old people. World War One just wiped out a huge percentage of young men. And you had so-called war widows. These were a huge number of women could never marry after World War One because there was a male shortage. You also had bereaved parents, and there was a sort of a jump start with trying to communicate with lost loved ones. But oddly enough, it carries the death penalty in the Old Testament. I think it's Leviticus. I'd have to check if it's Leviticus or Deuteronomy. I believe it's Leviticus, that you're not supposed to do that. And when the one example of it is the Witch of Endor story, where Saul is trying to communicate with the dead prophet to get information on the next day's battle, and of course he's going to die, but it's all depicted in a kind of sinister way. Now, not that we shouldn't do it, but just be aware that training is required. People should read about it, study, perhaps study under someone who is wiser, just to sort of buy a Ouija board at Hobby Center, if they still have those, and play around is really not a good idea. So to speak. And incidentally, another point you said earlier, just a moment ago, I should make clear, even people drawn towards just traditional, well, I shouldn't say just, to traditional Christianity, there's a wide variety of notions in that context. For example, we talk about in the work the Mormon notion that we can actually become gods with our own followers, if you will. And so, again, there's a wide number of traditions. Sadly enough, in the 4th century after Christ, with the triumph of Orthodoxy and the Roman Empire becoming, under Constantine, Christian, there's an orthodoxy opposed on Christians that most people don't realize that early Christians in the first few centuries debated these issues, and there were all kinds of notions. Yeah. For example,
heated debates.
Yes, yes. And again, because you can tell the professor background, once you start my verbal machine going, I just keep going, so I'll let you get back in. But again, it's people on the original question. And incidentally, if you've ever, your guests are probably familiar with the Exorcist movie and also the novel, William Blatty. That's actually based on a real story in the 1940s.
Right, right.
Douglas Dean was a young man. The story was changed to a girl, and he was a young boy, and he was really close to his aunt who was interested in the paranormal. She was very sick. She bought him a Ouija board before her death with instructions to talk to her, and oddly enough, he seems to show symptoms of possession. And a young college student was reading about the story in the Washington Post in the 1940s, and this would become the core of what becomes known as The Exorcist. That's William Blatty, of course, the novelist. So again, these notions of these stray spirits out there that can fill us. And I should also mention, modern psychiatry always dismisses this stuff, and they say, it's just mental illness. Say that the Middle Ages always thought that mental illness was simple demonic possession. Well, psychologists and psychiatrists and frankly scientists are some of the worst.
Mark, hold that thought real quick. We're gonna go into our second break here. We're gonna be back in 2 minutes with our very special guest, Mark Mirabello, talking about his book, A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife, Traditions and Beliefs on Death, Dying, and What Lies Beyond. This is Inspired Living Radio. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
America's service members and veterans are strong. Forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. Sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
welcome back to the second half of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on OM Times. Our very special guest today, Pulitzer-nominated author Mark Mirabello, talking about his new book, A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife. And right before the break, Mark, you were in full discussion about the responsibility of doing this work, and not everybody needs to go out and search for this. The Leviticus that you're referencing was actually Leviticus 20:27. I know it well as a working medium. I sometimes, you know, have clients that, you know, bring that up, you know, based on their belief system, and you know, will quote certain passages either from, you know, the Book of Mormon or the Bible, depending on what their belief system is. But you make a good point about responsibility and mentoring and developing myself as a medium. I'm actually a member of the Spiritual National Union of England, so I've been training very hard for the last 5 years to get a better understanding of how to do this work. But what I like about your book is it really goes into details of all of the different traditions, and there's some pretty wild traditions out there in this book, you know, about the afterlife and the journey to get there. So let's pick up the discussion where we left off right before we went to break.
Yes, and by the way, during the break, I was also checking that reference, so you trumped me by finding it first on Leviticus. So, good work. But at any rate, for listeners, we're raised in a certain tradition, and it's modern day. It's called, well, I always tell my history of ideas class, if you will, that morally we're Victorians, and intellectually we're people from the Age of Enlightenment, 18th century. Even when people revolt from moral systems today, for example, we have the recent changes in what defines marriage and so forth. We have the various reinterpretation of sexuality. They're revolting against Victorian morals because, again, all kinds of societies don't have these taboos. Now, intellectually, and it's so ingrained, even some of the people that study the paranormal, it's so ingrained, this 18th century notion of what's called scientism, that only matter and energy exist. And we tend to think, because you mentioned, made references to spirits and spirituality and so forth, but we have no idea if the modern notion of the universe, that it's only matter and energy, if that's even true. It's simply repeated endlessly until we tend to accept it as fact. And I have a section of the work where I discuss how little we know about even this physical universe. If you imagine that this galaxy were the size of a dime, now, of course, that's reducing the scale, our known universe is only a distance out to about 4 miles. So we very literally, I'm not saying we are, we literally could be a kind of ant farm, a glass in a glass jar on God's shelf. I know that sounds peculiar. Genesis refers to a solid firmament of heaven. It's interesting that they always tend to focus on biology when they're debating Genesis. But in fact, it gives a whole different structure of the universe. Now, again, a modern person would say, well, that's ridiculous, can't really be. But we don't really know. And so this idea that we should dismiss things, and incidentally, modern science argues that it's all produced, mind is produced, well, there's no soul, and it's all produced by the brain, mind. Oddly enough, William James, who's the father of modern psychology in the United States in the late 19th century, and also the son of a Swedenborgian minister, I should throw that in, he was convinced that, in fact, the brain was not actually producing the mind. It had a transmissive function. He gave what was high technology in his time, the transatlantic cable, that you could send a message from New York to London instantaneously with this cable across the Atlantic. And he pointed out if you cut the cable, it cuts off the communication. If you alter the cable, it alters the communication. And like notion, modern neuroscientists, they'll see a damaged brain and it doesn't work correctly. And they think, well, that's because it's the brain producing the mind. It could just be like the damaged cable. And also, if the brain is destroyed, the mind seems to stop. Well, that could, again, you've cut the cable. Imagine another metaphor. You give a really primitive group of people a shortwave radio. And he would, the traditional person would point out that he would be convinced the voice is coming from the box, not from elsewhere. And he would point out if he alters the radio, it changes the nature of the voice. And if he destroys the radio, it stops the voice. So he would be convinced that the voice originates. And I make a reference. Lorber was his name, sadly, if he passed away a few years ago from the University of Sheffield, Dr. John Lorber. And he did find a couple of people with virtually no brain. Now, I know it sounds curious. It all began, he was at this university, Sheffield, and a young math major, IQ of 126, came in with headaches. And when examined by Lorber, Lorber discovered that this young man had only 1 millimeter of cerebral tissue covering the top of his spinal column. Now, typically we have about 4.5 centimeters, and essentially had a lot of fluid and a little bit of nervous tissue, almost none in his brain. Now, I've actually raised this repeatedly. We have at my small university, for example, neuroscientists. They just refuse to accept it. They immediately say, well, it must have been done incorrectly. And what even more stunning, they have never even heard of Lorber. Now, these are people teaching about the brain and about the mind at the college level, and they're not even familiar with it. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with Fortean phenomenon of when something is too unusual. The late Charles Fort, he wrote the Book of the Damned, which I recommend to all your listening audience. Yes. And he would study facts that are sort of embarrassing and suppressed. And this is a classic one. I really am convinced that the mind, as William James pointed out, what the brain is for is it simply links the mind with the physical world. So if the connection is broken, the mind can no longer communicate with the physical world, but it still exists. And obviously that's very important to afterlife concepts. If our minds are simply being generated by the brain, most traditional notions are not going to work. Although, as I point out, if you're dealing with eternalism or eternal recurrence, we'd still have a form of immortality. Even though if the brain is producing the mind, but if a mind is something higher, superior, detached, and capable of separate existence, it does change the whole notion of the story. So again, rather than keep going, I'll let the radio host jump back in here.
No, it's fascinating stuff. And, you know, I was just talking about this on my Monday morning Facebook Live about neuroscience and the study of brain. And actually, the message was how to get your brain out of a default and how to almost mind empty, because we always talk about mindfulness. But I was also thinking about, as you were talking, Mark, I was thinking of the movie Men in Black, where at the end of Men in Black, they talk where they open the locker and we're just one little culture in a major train station sitting in a locker. That's Planet Earth, kind of like the metaphor that you're talking about with the size of the dime. Or even the other movie where the Coke bottle falls out of the plane and it lands in the Amazon, and the tribe takes the glass, the Coke bottle, and it changes their culture. But I wanted to get into some questions, but I know that we had a caller call in, and I know she's no longer on the line, but Teresa from Vancouver, if you want to call back in, I do want to try to get to some questions, or if anybody else wants to call in and ask Mark a question about afterlife, about death, dying, belief systems, I'd love to have you call back in at 1-202-570-7057. Or Teresa, if you don't want to call back in, you can post a question on our live Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio. I want to get into some questions for you, Mark, and have you explain a little bit more about the book as we are getting ready for our third and final break coming up here in just a few minutes. But what I loved about the book, too, and a lot of the studies that I have been studying in spirituality, you talked about Emanuel Swedborg, the Christian seer. And you had talked about, he said that the other side is so similar to our world that many people do not realize they are dead. So I wanted to have you explain that. And I think of the movie The Sixth Sense, you know, at the end, if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense, I don't want to ruin it, but he didn't know he was dead. And then he realized he was dead.
By the way, I should also personally apologize to Teresa from Vancouver, not to sort of cut her off when she was carrying on a conversation.
Oh, no. And you guys called in at the exact same time. Yeah, you called in, or you.
Well, again,
you
called
back in at the exact same time. So.
Okay, on the idea of the Swedenborg's notion of this side, when you die, it's very similar. It's fascinating because he talks about, and this is a man in the 18th century who just in a sense, links the two warring notions I just discussed, because he was an aristocrat, a baron, who was a scientist, trained scientist, but in his mid-50s began to have very clear visions of the other side. Now, I'm not talking about flashes of revelation, but literally would see the other side and carry on conversations. Given his scientific training, his collected works are very logical, systematic. I always thought his concept of the Godhead was fascinating, because we have this notion of this Trinitarian concept, which seems kind of almost contrary to common sense. How can God be three persons in one? And he describes it by saying it's the old idea of modalism, that just as a man can be a father, a grandfather, a son, that's God has appeared in history three different ways, and that's what that is. But Swedenborg says that most of us, when we die, we go temporarily to this world of spirits, and that's where we see loved ones, and we're there up to 30 years. But gradually, we tend to become detached by that, from that, and we're controlled, in a sense, or guided, I guess I should say, by what he calls our ruling love, that everybody has a ruling love. And what's interesting about this notion, and again, his best work for your readers is on heaven and hell. He has many, many works, complete works, but there's one separate work on heaven and hell. He actually says God doesn't send anyone to heaven or to hell. And we gravitate naturally through in these directions through our ruling love. Just as a frog would be utterly miserable in a spring meadow with beautiful flowers and green grass and so forth, he wants to be in a slimy swamp with mosquitoes and insects buzzing around and stench. According to Swedenborg, hellish people, evil people, gravitate towards the swamp, if you will. That's what hell is. And he describes these almost like an urban slum. There's dark, rundown cities, and people are robbing each other and raping each other and preying upon each other, and that's hell. And then he describes beautiful places with, again, sunlit pastures, and they're even organized into governments. And these are loving, good people who gravitate towards heavenly areas. And there's no wall keeping everybody apart. It's simply they gravitate towards ruling love.
Okay, so really about choice on what you want to gravitate towards. So this is our last commercial break. We'll be back here in 2 minutes on Inspired Living Radio. Very special guest, Maribella, talking about the travel guide to the afterlife. I believe my dad's coming.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Om Times Radio. Our very special guest today, Mark Mirabello, A Traveler's Guide to the Afterlife. We're in the last half of our show here, Mark, and I want to get to some more questions and do kind of a rapid firing of questions at you and just have you answer with a few answers because we got such a late start into the show. And I think it'd be, if you're up to it, I think it'd be fantastic to have you back on Inspired Living Radio to continue this conversation, because there is just so much knowledge and so much information to cover. It's really hard to cover in an hour's time. So if you're open and interested to coming back, I'd like to give you that personal invite right now to come back and continue this conversation of the afterlife. But let's pick up right before the break there on what you were discussing about the topic of the afterlife.
Okay. And by the way, I'd be honored again to come back, and I'll try not to drop the ball and mess up my communication with you when we do this the second
third time's a charm, as they say, right?
Yes. Now, by the way, we were talking about Swedenborg, and again, this notion about basically you have this ruling love that draws you in the direction. I mentioned in the work that Aleister Crowley, the infamous occultist and sort of black magician, he once said that he would be miserable in heaven, that he wanted, frankly, wild people and people that are practicing vice and alcohol and drugs and wild women and so forth. And that's essentially what he would get in the Swedenborg section. He would gravitate towards these violent, promiscuous regions of the next side. And again, the nice, sweet church ladies will go towards the wonderful place, right? And it's all, they freely choose. It reminds me that people on Earth do this. There are people living in places that I would not want to live in, and they're happy. And there are people living in places where I would love to be. Now, I should also mention, because we're, again, short on time, this notion blends into, there's a Hindu school, followers of Yogacara, and it's very similar. And this is really important because it's called, in Eastern culture, non-dualist thought, and we also see it in Western philosophy called idealism. And it's the idea that everything is mind only. There is no material universe. Now, I know people will say, well, wait a minute. In fact, Dr. Samuel Johnson, talking about Berkeley's philosophy, he was an idealist. He famously kicked something and said, I refute Berkeley thus, kicked a rock or a tree or something. But in your dreams, everything is real. The pleasures are real. If it's an erotic dream, the fear is real. And it's all generated by the mind. So this entire universe could be generated by our minds, or there's also the notion in Eastern thought that we're in someone else's dream. There's the notion in Hinduism that a god dreams, well, in a sense, daydreams this universe, and then he goes to sleep and everything disappears. And then he wakes up. Now, his night is billions of years to us, because it's a different notion of time, and that we're all simply dream figures. There's a wonderful Twilight Zone episode, the old classic one, Rod Serling, which this opens with a trial, and the man is found not guilty and going to be executed, and he starts laughing. And he tries to tell everybody in the court and to the lawyers that this is a dream he's in. This is not happening. And, of course, you find out at the end of the episode he's exactly right. This was all just dreamed. And all the people in the dream think they're real. So, and incidentally, there's an oddity about us that we tend to forget everything that occurs in dreams. But we remember what occurs during the day. If we had been wired in the reverse, that we would remember the dreams very clearly, but forget the day-by-day activities, this would, again, alter our notion of reality. It's also possible, incidentally, and I'm quoting Borges, the great Argentinian writer, he said, we could be waking up into another dream. So in other words, when you woke up this morning, you're not really waking up into the world, you're waking up into another dream. And when you go to sleep at night, it's another dream. On and on and on and on into, if you will, infinity. And there's absolutely no way of proving this world exists and is not simply a dream, a thought. And I should also point out, a lot of your listeners perhaps would be, for example, interested in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which describes the bardo states. These occur for roughly 49 days between death and rebirth. And when Westerners read this, they right away react because it makes it very clear that everything you experience in these Bardo states is from contents of your mind. It's not really happening. You're, in a sense, dreaming it. And right away you think, well, that's not means it's not really real. But in fact, it is, because we're dreaming this world as well. And the Tibetan Book of the Dead is from so-called Diamond Vehicle Buddhism, which is, of course, the Dalai Lama's in that tradition. It represents a quick path that you can short-circuit karma, if you will, and achieve enlightenment in one lifetime or in one quick process. And, of course, you have left-handed and right-handed tantra, and this represents right-handed tantra. Left-handed is the wild stuff. But, again, this notion that, and by the way, I mentioned in the book, there are many ways, strangely enough, to game the system, that there's a way you follow the rules, but then you, frankly, can beat the rules. We, in the Egyptian Book of the Dead from ancient Egypt, which, incidentally, Egyptian religion has lasted longer than any other known religion, even though it's viewed as extinct now.
And written thousands of years before the Bible.
Yes, and we have Spell 125. We see in the Egyptian Book of the Dead there's a moral judgment. They're the earliest culture we know of that has a kind of moral aspect to the next life. But Spell 125 gives you the ability to defeat, even if you've been a bad person, you can still get into the other side through the spell. And I remind you, that's what traditionally religions do this. We'll say you must do X, Y, and Z for salvation, but then we tell you how to, again, game the system. I'm not in any way criticizing this, it's what we do, but in evangelical Christianity, there's the notion that you're saved through the faith in the Christ.
Based on deeds, if you accept him
as your personal savior, even if you've been a great sinner. In Hinduism, this is called bhakti yoga. You're saved through one of the avatars, for example, of Krishna. I'm sorry, of Vishnu, called Krishna, and he will take you to a paradise, or you can be taken by Shiva to a paradise. And in Pure Land Buddhism, which is a type of Buddhism found in Japan and China, in fact, I like to share this with, because it's kind of an interesting notion. If you say, and according to Pure Land Buddhism, once in your life, Namu Amida Butsu, which I'm corrupting the Japanese there, mispronouncing. when you die, you go to a paradise called a pure land. And what happened was the Amida Buddha, who's not the historical Buddha, there are many Buddhas. In fact, this Buddha, Amida Buddha, was in another universe long, long ago. Yet he achieved enlightenment, which is release from rebirth, and refused to go to nirvana because there were still people left behind. And this supreme act of generosity created this Pure Land. There are many Pure Lands. Anytime someone achieves enlightenment and doesn't go until everybody goes, this supreme act creates this Pure Land. Now, again, it's based on the notion that everything is thought only. So supreme actions will create these pure, wonderful places. And if I may interject this, I know we're probably running out of time, but a lot of Westerners, when they're studying Eastern religions, have a really incorrect view of what's going on. One example is karma. I made a reference to it. And because we're influenced by our Western traditions, people think that they live, let's say, 95 years, and then their good deeds are weighed against their bad deeds, and this determines their next life. In reality, every completed action creates another life. So by living here to this life now, you're creating thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. And in one passage, the Buddha is talking about how many lives we have, and one of his followers points to this mountain in the Himalayas, couple tens of thousands of miles high. I think it's about 20,000 feet high. And he says, if we could gather all your bones from all your previous lives, it'd be higher than this mountain. And so you have many, many, many lives. That's why it's not really important to maybe remember what you were. Were you Henry VIII in the 16th century? Because everybody has been everything already, because there are so many of these lives. Everyone listening today has been a king, has been a queen, has been a pirate, has been a pirate victim, has been a rape victim, has been a rapist, has been a thief, has been perhaps a sage, because we go on and on and on and on and on. And it's, which, strange enough, you find the same concept, I'm not trying to promote them, but L. Ron Hubbard has the same concept in Scientology. We've had these trillions of lives, he says, and everybody has done everything. Every completed action. Now, incidentally, there's a notion in Buddhism that your final actions in this life determine your very next one. So, for example, a supreme act of generosity. You've been an evil person your entire life, and then you rescue a child from a burning car and save him. You will come back as a godly being in the next life. Now, that doesn't mean you escape your bad crimes. You will have future lives to deal with that. But this one, the very next one, is determined by what you're doing at the very end, if it's a powerful thing. I should also mention, in one other point, in case before we run out of time, we always tend to see time.
30 seconds here.
Well, we see time as linear, that if you die, you'll be reborn in the future. In fact, in Hinduism, for example, you can be, your next life may be at the time of Christ. All time exists simultaneously.
Yeah, all time is an illusion. So, Mark, thank you so much. Radio, fire, time, carrying.